If you haven't noticed, we're in election year here in America. And the current sitting president, Joe Biden, one of the things that typically Americans tend to vote on is how are gas prices doing. If gas is shooting up like crazy, that won't bode well for Biden. That's going to be something that he's going to have to face. He's like, damn, gas prices really shot up like crazy towards the end of his term. So that'll be a challenge that he would have to face. Yeah. Politically, in terms of trying to keep his office, if he chooses to.
Yeah, and then Trump could run on that and RFK, and we'll bring down the oil prices.
Yeah,
and
anybody.
We'll stop the war, blah, blah, blah.
Literally anybody. It could even be from the same party.
Yeah. Also true. Perspective, current gas prices have gone up, but from this article from CBS News, in Florida, it says that 2024 average forecast from 319 to a gallon to 351 a gallon, with peak at 367. Welcome back
to another week
of your favorite crypto podcast,
Sometimes Crypto,
the Unscripted
Crypto Podcast.
Hey, yo,
what's up? Oh my
goodness, mute yourself, please.
That's what I'm doing right now.
We have plentiful to go over,
plenty,
and plenty that we don't know about.
Yeah, of course. I don't know what you're referring to, but I know I don't know a lot of things. But what we did write notes on. What I did read, I know I could somewhat cover it.
Okay, good for that.
Need to be true, I guess, wasn't right?
Yeah. All right. Quick little what?
I wanted to say thank you guys for liking,
subscribing,
and commenting. The comments they got me hyped. I saw one.
He feels happy. He's gonna read it out to you guys.
You know what? I think I do have one. I do got one at Tully, in the first 100 subs. Hella underrated. Great topics, titles. Keep it up, bros. Shout out to you, guy. You're the best. That got me so hyped.
I'm going to be the devil's advocate because I am like that. If it's a bot, I told you so. If it's not a bot, he told me so. This will play out one day.
he's skeptical. He's just but
someone has to be.
Nonetheless.
But thank you if you are real, though. If you're fake, fuck you. If you're real, thank you.
I don't think he is.
All right. We'll find out. Types again. No, fuck you. That'll be funny.
That would be funny, but thank you. Anyways. But yeah, shout out to you guys.
Appreciate it. Like, subscribe, follow, comment. Do you. Slowly but surely.
Slowly but surely.
One day at a time.
We're bringing out content consistently for you guys. So hopefully.
Sometimes more consistent than others.
Hopefully we just reach a bigger crowd and help the world become more financially stable.
Literate?
Something like that.
Cool. Education?
Yeah. You're going to say something else, right?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Sorry for cutting you off, William.
I don't remember. No, I don't remember if I was or wasn't.
Yeah, no, you were going to say something. You're like, before we get started. And I was like, yeah, before we get started. And then I cut you off on that.
Oh, I wanted to say real fast, Bitcoin halving this Saturday, ideally.
Ideally.
At the rate we're going, 500 bucks left. Last time I saw the number.
Yeah, so actually, it's very close to the 12 a.m. time. So it might be April 19th.
Oh, snap.
It's like super close. Yeah, we're currently sitting at block 555, 839,555. So we're almost there.
All cool. I just want to get that out the way fast. Yep. Getting into the meat and potatoes of this.
Yeah.
Why are altcoins bleeding on me? I just want to know. They're just bleeding. They're really bled.
They've taken big dives this past weekend.
Yeah. Quick recap. Bitcoin doing pretty good. Holding fairly well. Currently sitting at 13% away from all-time high. Not terrible.
Yep.
In its counter, in its respect, Sol is not doing so well. It needs an ambulance at this rate.
It needs some emergency medical
give services. Or take, we're sitting at 34% down. And the list goes on and on. That's not the only one that's in that predicament.
Yeah, it is quite gruesome. XRP is down 20%, Cardano 23%.
And that's not from all-time highs, is it?
Yeah, no, that's just 7 days.
Okay.
Yeah, it is a bloodbath out there in the crypto market. But
lastly, before we move on, ETH is down 24%. Not terrible.
From all-time highs.
From current all-time highs. From local top. So, alts are bleeding. These are great buying opportunities. Mm-hmm. I will say, be cautious. Market is not stable.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
So if you buy a little and be prepared to buy more a little lower or to buy a retest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the markets have been quite unstable these past few days.
Oh, and just to be clear, even though Bitcoin hasn't done its 20 to 30% dip,
mm-hmm.
respectfully, because it has been,
It
was very close. It didn't do it, but it was close. Alts have done the complete opposite. Alts have done the retracement for the most part.
Okay. They've all bounced
they've
back.
They've all,
Like bounced back. Oh, retracement down.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. They've all, they all have done what pretty happens
in previous.
Pre-halving.
Yeah. Pre-halving.
Is there's a big drop-off. Yeah. Bitcoin goes down 30, 40%. Alts get wrecked, go to 60, 70%. Alts are down 40 to 50% mm-hmm. Depending on the alt.
Mm-hmm.
Go down the list and it just goes lower.
Yeah. But Bitcoin has not done that.
No, Bitcoin is holding, I will give it 20% range of holding that 20% very strongly. So, and this is also like last buying opportunities before pre-halving, going into halving.
Cycle like, starts.
You're in a buying zone.
Yeah.
To say the least.
I would think it looks like a good buy the dip moment.
And for those who bought Friday and then had to buy again Saturday, it does.
That
hurts all every time.
You buy the dip,
and you gotta buy a third dip too sometimes.
Yeah, just try not to run out of cash.
Yeah. Make that easy.
That's the game, right?
But law alts are in good positions. We'll go from here.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Also, fuck them. They're hurting right now.
Yeah. It's not a pretty sight.
I'm losing 50% on some of these fuckers. All the things I bought late are down below that price. Everything I bought early on
is still good.
Bro, 30, 40%.
That's why it's not timing the market. It's time in the market.
Yes, Alex. Teach everyone that. Don't be like me. I will say Python Jupiter performing really well for when I bought to now.
Yeah, they're still up. They're still doing okay.
Jupiter's up way more than Python, if I'm not mistaken, but doing good.
I see. DCA.
We're buying more as soon as we get a chance.
As soon as the paychecks start coming in.
As soon as one paycheck gets coming, like 100 bucks here, 100 bucks here, 20 here. Going down a list. All right.
Yep.
But don't want to give that brief sentiment. Not bearish, still bullish.
Oh, Bitcoin halving. Still bullish.
We're still early.
But yeah, we're still early.
Bitcoin 40%, halving. We're 40% away from all-time high, give or take.
Bitcoin halving still hasn't taken place, so that's always a catalyst.
Well, in this case, the second catalyst.
Yeah, it's going to be the second right. catalyst.
That's what I wanted to touch on before we get into it.
Yep.
So you want to get into why it happened?
Yeah. That sounds like the most reasonable way
to do.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, are we going to talk about it?
Do you want to give any preface beforehand?
I don't know what preface to give.
Maybe I use the wrong word. You know I do that often.
Context?
Well, because we never speak about this topic.
Yeah, so we typically tend to stay away from the topic of war because war is not fun. And obviously...
we don't know enough.
Very, yeah.
I would say I don't know enough to speak on.
It definitely affects a lot of people quite drastically. So... we definitely try to stay away from it, mostly because this isn't a political podcast. This is just a crypto focus, and
but we talk about politics quite often.
Yeah, but it's because it ties into.
I will say we don't talk about war, or battles, or fighting.
We're all for defunding war. At least I am. I don't.
All war, by the way, this is all war.
Yeah, all wars.
I hope he says all wars with that.
Yeah. But yeah, essentially, what had happened this past weekend with Iran. Shooting
Iran.
Iran. I'm sorry.
Iran.
They sent a lot of missiles and drones to Israel.
500 was the number I saw.
500? That's a lot. I saw it in the hundreds of ballparks. The cost for just defending against this attack was like $1 billion, like 1.5 billion around there was what I saw.
Sounds about right.
Just for defending it. And granted, this caused a lot of chaos, quite scary news for a lot of people, seeing how I want to say geopolitical, but geopolitical isn't necessarily the right term. It's more like just politics, global politics taking place. All markets took big hits, and crypto was not shielded from that.
No.
And for a pretty reasonable, I guess, like reason.
You good there?
I heard myself reasonable reason, but then I was like, whatever, I'm just gonna go with it.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like fear of like a third world war possibly going on.
So technically, by definition, we are in a third world war.
Mm-hmm.
By definition.
By definition.
It's multiple countries at war with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think from the definition from what I saw was it's not necessarily it's all like it's three against four.
Mm-hmm.
It can be three going on here, four over here, and five over there. Technically, it's a world war.
Oh, okay. So, like, just multiple countries under...
Yeah, it's multiple countries attacked with at least one common enemy involved in all of them or, like, something of that nature.
Who's a common enemy involved in this?
Technically, we're involved because proxy warring mm-hmm. also technically counts up from what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that
well, or supplying.
Which I feel like is probably the case in this case.
So, in this case, like, we're supplying
a lot of
Israel, Ukraine, mm-hmm. while at the same time... Also supporting technically Iran because we did give them $10 billion earlier, mm-hmm. like last year or this year. What they technically had to use the money for like humanitarian aid, but you know that never goes away where it works.
Yeah, it never
works. Not the point.
Someone's always siphoning money somewhere.
So it's not the point.
Yeah.
Well, and then Russia's funding other countries at the same time while Russia's also fighting its own actual war.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's a shit show out there. But technically, we're in a world war. Technically,
you know, you heard it here first, guys.
Yeah, none of that shit.
If that's the case, then I think everything's going kind of okay for now, I guess, because I would think world war, like that's it, is apocalyptic. But we're still here, we're still alive. Everyone, the majority of us, at least.
Damn, that's a fucked up thing to say.
Sorry, dude. Don't laugh. You're gonna make me laugh.
Sad. We do feel bad for everyone who has.
No, 100%. Like
perish and pass in war, civilian or non-civilian. It does, really does suck. Yeah. It's a sad
thing. Yeah. I heard that as a show of force, like the display of force that Iran. Okay. I thought you were gonna judge me again. That what they have demonstrated with their attack on Israel was like laughable, people said. Like it was like a complete humiliation in the fact that like none of their like very
I heard that too.
Like less than 1% of their artillery actually hit or caused damage.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate because why do you gotta go and do that? I don't know. I don't know what's going on over there in Iran and Israel between them two. Saying how there's also like countries in between them, like but that being said, markets are being affected, and that is something I feel more comfortable talking about.
How do you get so uncomfortable so fast?
Well, it's not that I'm uncomfortable, it's just I feel like I know I don't want to say something that's inaccurate or incorrect or like just without full context of what's actually going on. I didn't study global politics, so
and this is why we stay away from them.
Exactly why we stay away from it. Like, I don't think we ever talked about the Ukraine.
I think we briefly.
Did we?
If we mentioned anything, it's very brief.
Yeah. So, yeah, just the whole thing going on.
We can segue out of this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, currently, what do you think is going to be the biggest effect of this whole, in terms of markets, besides crypto?
Weapons.
A lot of
because now we need more. Now we need to resupply what we just used to defend
mm-hmm.
Israel because we had our fighter jets and naval vessels there to
help shoot things down. Yeah, I think it was like a
and the UK was there too. And yeah. NATO did some other
combined forces to
probably. So I think that. Depends if either the U.S. has said it won't retaliate. It depends if Israel will still retaliate and what they decide to attack or not attack. Because mm-hmm. This attack that Iran did was a retaliation attack because Israel apparently, again, I don't know this, attacked one of their bases, killed two generals. I don't know their names, unfortunately. kill two of their generals, and then this is like the
retaliation. So this is Iran's retaliation towards Israel. Towards,
yes.
Okay. If that's the case, then I would have to say that Israel shouldn't do anything. And the reason why I say this is because I just saw this like a YouTube video on game theory, where this professor ran simulations for, it was like a little game, as the prisoner's dilemma. And so let's say between you and me, we're trying to collect points. Mm-hmm. If we both choose to cooperate, we get 3 points each. If I choose to defect and you choose to cooperate, I would get 5 points. You get 0 points. And if we both choose to defect, we both get one point. So the goal is to get as many points as possible. And I'll link it in the description. But essentially what I saw was from this specific game theory, like a trial. Granted, game theory is very complicated and there's a lot of nuances. But from this specific trial, the one that most benefited, like the strategy, because what they did is they created a bunch of different strategies. Mm-hmm. And the one that worked the most was they called it tick for tack. So if it would always, it was choose to cooperate at first, cooperate until the other person defected. Then if it defected, it defected the next round. And then it would cooperate the round following that. So it was just pretty much, if you defect, I defect. And then after that, it would just like kind of cooperate. And if that, this whole simulation ended up being like, oh, you should retaliate fast, forgive. And then there was something else. Nonetheless, if Israel was the first one to retaliate and attack Iran, granted, there's a whole history. I don't know what happened before all this, but given the context that Israel attacked first, Iran retaliated, Israel should not, according to this game theory video, should not attack. Yeah. And then Iran obviously would have no reason to attack again and just start.
Iran said don't attack back. Just stay how we are. Mm-hmm. U.S. told Israel don't attack back. Everyone, Turkey said, hey, but everyone calm down. Mm-hmm. Like it's a whole thing. So if there are no more attacks, for this example, then market should, you know, balance out. It should stay as unbalanced as it was before, just meaning that Palestinians are still in conflict. And ideally, it would be find some resolution for that, whatever that may be. I would ideally want no genocide on either party, by the way.
Yeah, genocide is so done. I'm so done with that. Like
let's be clear here. I would ideally want a peaceful resolution of one way or another. Mm-hmm. You know, the best we can do.
Yeah. Diplomacy.
Good diplomacy, ideally. Like, you know, it's politics, so it is what it is. And if that's not the option, it progresses, then we'll have to wait to see what happens after that. Like,
yeah.
Is there another retaliation attack from someone else? Do bigger guns get involved earlier on? Who knows?
I mean, another market that will definitely be affected by if this continues to escalate would be oil, 100%. Oil is the driving cause, like, for a lot of machinery and, well, artillery also. But anything that requires gas is going to be consuming it exponentially if war continues. And that's not good for us, like, for anybody, increased oil prices. So there's this, measure for what crude oil is. It's called Brent crude.
Okay.
It's like pretty much a benchmark for that, and it's currently sitting at $90 a barrel.
Okay,
up 18% from this year, or this
eight. That's not good, right?
18, yeah, no, up 18% is not good.
I mean, for those who trade future oil,
yeah, they probably
might be up.
They might be up. So apparently, Citi said that barrels could reach $100 a barrel if the conflict continues.
And it's at 90 now.
It's a 90, so $10.
So I'm assuming when you're saying that means it takes a lot of buying to.
Yeah,
I mean, it takes a shortage more than anything.
Yeah, it'll be
for shortage. The price of oil to shoot up another $10 like mm-hmm. that. Like, for the most part, oil would be stable.
Yeah,
oil. Apart from, like, you know, policies being implemented to stop production. Stuff like
yeah,
that.
Of course. But then also, like, typically in times of war,
it goes up.
Countries will just.
Supply goes down.
Yeah, supply will go down. Yeah. They'll make sure a portion of whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. Before, if that's the case and supply goes down, prices go up. Mm-hmm. If not before that, it would always be stable.
Yeah. Gotcha, gotcha. And then another organization, Society General, said that it could go up as high as $140 a barrel.
That's a lot more.
Which is, yeah, that's...
40. What would that be, like, can... Continue.
That's $40 off from doubling the price of crude oil at current prices. Granted, this will affect a lot of people. If it reaches $140 a barrel, this is, food prices start to go up, costs of goods start to go up, because a lot of goods, plastic goods, are made with from crude oil. And then on top of that, we also need to ship these plastic goods, so then or just any goods in general. And then so transit price goes up and things are tend to rise in value. Oh, I wouldn't even say rise in value. They just cost more.
Rise in value?
To a degree.
Rise of cost more.
Yeah, anything. But it's not. It's just because something affected it. In this case, it'd be a shortage of oil. It's not that that particular item improved. It's just shipping cost or has raised.
So if oil... reaches 140 gas price. This is from a calculator.academy, like it's just a gas calculator. It says gas would reach a $4.15.
A gallon. Is that for like any specific city or like just kind of
no,
like
this
base,
is what
like base like
this what is it would, from looks of it, it's price of oil. Mm-hmm. To gas.
Yeah.
Like what would be that direct cost? Doesn't
yeah.
mean city transporting every
yeah
meal.
Because I know like this yeah a lot depending on where what city you're located on or town, country, whatever, there might be certain like fees associated with
yeah.
that.
So it could be more than that, but base price, just oil price for
yeah,
the
yeah.
gallon itself,
the cheapest you'll find,
you can never find it, would be $4.15 respectfully.
$4.15.
yeah,
wow, that is quite
that's pricey, because it means pricey. At the pump it's probably $7.
Yeah,
it like where we are, we're in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
So like you can already imagine California,
oof.
LA, downtown Miami,
catastrophic.
Like any,
that's yeah. That's
New York.
I think California is the one with the highest gas prices, though.
So that and you will stop driving.
Yeah,
people are gonna stop driving.
Yeah, people will stop driving for sure. Or. I don't know.
No,
it's just so many things would happen. Yeah, yeah. We wouldn't. There would be a decrease in
travel
and like expenditures, like overall, because then people start traveling. They're not going to go to the movie theaters. They're not going to go shopping or like.
Because even we here, man, we haven't seen everywhere an average of $4.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
no.
Even at peak prices,
mm-hmm.
I don't think we've ever seen $4 as an average.
No, yeah, we've always seen a little bit below four.
Like $3.80.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the expensive places were like $3.90.
Yeah,
on average, like that, whatever. and obviously, if you haven't noticed, we're in election year here in America, and the current sitting president, Joe Biden. One of the things that typically Americans tend to vote on is how are gas prices doing. If gas is shooting up like crazy, that won't bode well for Biden. That's gonna be something that he's gonna have to face. Is like, damn, gas prices really shot up like crazy towards the end of his presidency, towards the end of his term. So that'll be a challenge that he would have to face
yeah.
politically in terms of trying to keep his office if he chooses to.
Yeah, and then Trump could run on that and RFK, and we'll bring down the
and,
oil prices.
Yeah,
and
anybody.
We'll stop the war. Blah blah blah.
Literally anybody. It could even be from the same party.
Yeah. Also true. Perspective, current gas prices have gone up, but from this article from CBS News, in Florida, it says that 2024 average forecast from $3.19 to a gallon to $3.51 a gallon, with peak at $3.67. In May, as refinance start to return to a more expensive summer blend, and school year comes to an end, blah, 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 and, you know, everything else. So this could even be more if that war progresses and we oil production just goes down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that oil production is going down.
Well,
it's
I mean,
supply gets
yeah.
redefined.
Supply deviates.
Yeah, supply deviates.
Correct.
Yeah, because if anything, they might even boost.
They'll up supply.
They'll up production, but keep more supply. It's possible.
Who would keep more? No, but the countries are going to. I mean,
countries.
The refineries will sell the oil.
Yeah.
But to the government, because they're the ones buying like hotcakes.
That's what I'm saying.
Correct. So we're on the same page here.
Yep. But hopefully this whole issue, like we said,
don't get there,
gets resolved, and we don't have to deal with it.
Okay, so I want to talk about something else that's supply related.
I'd love supply chain.
Bitcoin related, because it has a fixed supply.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from Whale FUD. Do you think that's...
Whale Fund?
Whale FUD.
FUD, F-U-D. Okay.
Whale FUD on Twitter.
Okay.
I don't know if he's credible or not. I assume. Because he did say who it came from. So it was Bitcoin supply to run out on exchanges in 9 months, according to Bybit.
What?
Bitcoin supply to run out on exchanges in 9 months, according to Bybit.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Because his account is Whale FUD.
Yeah.
That's not FUD. It's not FUD at all. Oh, that's hilarious. 9 months is right around the corner. And probably around the same time.
To be accurate, it is real news.
It is real news?
It is accurate. It's exchanges expect to run out of Bitcoin 9 months after halving, Bybit report.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bybit did report this. So, Whale FUD is accurate. What do you think?
So, that seems like more or less around the time where Bitcoin prices tend to start going up post-halving. Right before it starts climbing up to it reaches its peak.
Is it?
9 months. Like, so having typically during the cycle, the peak price of Bitcoin is a year after the halving. So you give it some time, it's got to start climbing. Granted, we've already passed that. We're way past that now.
Do you know when the halving last year, the last cycle was? Do you just March, off the top April. Of your head?
May something. Mid-May.
Cool. That's it. You're good. You can continue.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, that seems about right. Granted, now we're facing a much greater demand issue for Bitcoin. And I say issue, but it's not a bad thing for those who are already holding. If you do not hold Bitcoin right now, that is a bad thing because as demand goes up and supply goes down, prices
tend to rise.
Therefore, pricing you out, getting you less Bitcoin. Less Satoshis.
Correct.
Smaller unit of Bitcoin. So, if that's the case, where exchanges do run out of Bitcoin in 9 months, hodl them fast.
Great. You won't be able to buy.
No, yeah. You literally won't be able to buy it on there.
They're going to have to do...
Additionally, if you're holding Bitcoin on exchanges, I would recommend self custody all your coins. It doesn't all crypto, self custody it just in case. Bitcoin's the one that's most in danger at this point because of the lack of supply. But
I wouldn't say they can't. Most exchanges wouldn't be able to just stop you or sell the Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. I know, but
at least about some large legal ramifications.
Yeah, 100%. They will face criminal courts if that's the case for literally stealing. But granted, that doesn't mean they can't steal it.
I said they can't. I said,
and I'm just saying
a smaller exchange, maybe big ones.
Unlike won't, yeah, it's less it's that. Less likely that they'll do it. Like Coinbase would be less likely because of their
their
proficiency.
No, no,
they proliferency. Would. In the market.
But yeah, but to your point, yes, you should move it off exchanges because you won't be able to trade. It could become restricted real fast.
Yeah, has happened.
I will agree with you.
Literally happened, two months ago?
What?
Where Coinbase went down.
Yeah, it went down.
Therefore, you couldn't
do anything.
You couldn't have
it. And it went down again like a couple weeks after. So yeah, no, it's a real thing. It is an issue. And you should keep it off. So
that's probably like the only actual FUD, if you're holding your coins on an exchange. If you're self custody of your coins, then that's irrelevant.
I think it's a big FUD.
Oh, you think it's actual FUD?
Not FUD. What do you mean FUD?
Bad news.
Not bad news. No. Not in terms of bad news, but it does put exchanges in a position where are these ETF going to get to buy? For the most part, they do over the counter, right? It's behind closed doors, but those things are also running low. So we could reach a point where even if Bitcoin prices continue to rise, the amount of Bitcoin on the market itself just won't be there for long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. It probably get scooped up like hot tamales.
So we're going to be reaching a point where you're going to have to start bidding, actual bidding for one Bitcoin at a
Yeah.
I won't say that's going to happen now.
Yeah, right now it's still supply and demand, but there's like an order book. There's a whole order book that's still like, the supply is there. Once the supply is not there, then you're pretty much bidding for it.
Yeah, if this is accurate, that it does run out in 9 months. We'll see in 9 months.
Yeah, we'll have to see in 9 months.
Or what's going on. But it would be a huge supply shock to the market where we're going to be bidding for an individual piece of a Bitcoin. Like that, like 1% of a Bitcoin, you're going to be bidding for just 1%.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, that's going to be. So,
well, it could get there. We'll see how it plays out. Yeah. It depends on a couple factors at this point. Because I haven't seen ETF inflows since for this week yet. Well, for the end of last week and for the start of this week.
Yeah, no, I was just, sorry, I was mentally trying to calculate when 9 months would be. It'd be January 2025, correction.
Yeah.
So we'll wait until next year to see
what's going on. Because imagine we reach October and we're like, we're out of Bitcoin everywhere. Like, gotta figure it out.
So just to do a quick recap, FUD, it's fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So therefore, anytime someone posts some news where it seems fearful or it could cause uncertainty or doubt in someone, that's what we call FUD. However, people tend to reference it as if it's fake news. Not necessarily. Yeah, some. It just depends. It depends on the context, for the most part,
it tends to be fake than real. Yeah. Or it tends to be exaggerated.
Exaggerated, yeah. It does tend to be exaggerated. So that's why people be like, oh, it's FUD, as in, like, it's not, like, take it with a grain of salt to a degree. But in terms of talking about supply chain issues for exchanges, America's not the only one that's going to be having over-the-counter, Bitcoin mm-hmm. ETFs anymore. Hong Kong just approved two Bitcoin ETFs and Ethereum ETFs as well. They just approved that earlier, this month? And
2 days ago? 3 days ago? Recently. It was pretty recent.
So much news. So much news.
But to see, I don't think you mentioned it. It's a Bitcoin ETF and an ETH ETF.
I literally just said that.
Oh, you did? My fault. I didn't hear that.
100%. But they're working fast over there. They are actively trying to...
Because we already did it.
Yeah, they approved it. Yeah, because we already did it. Yeah.
So it's like they took the first initial risk. We'll follow now.
Yeah, so they're trying to get that out for end of April is what they're trying to go for.
Yeah.
So I think we did talk about it last episode, I believe. China asked...
That they filed.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah, okay. That they filed for an ETF that were awaiting approval. Okay. I don't think it was approved yet.
So it's China Asset Management and Harvest Global.
Yeah, we mentioned them and that they're some of the biggest asset managers for China.
For China, correct. Yeah, about 200.
I was going to say with only 200 something billion.
No, I said with 250 billion. Oh, you're going to say only 200.
With only 250 billion.
Last week I go, oh, what seems like a lot to me, I don't know, William, you let me know. I go $250 billion. And then you're like, no, that's a good amount. And then I had to reiterate. I was like, no, because sometimes I say a number that I think is big and you say, no, that's
not. That's a fair number. You look at it small because you're compared to trillions in like RS and in some of our asset managers. And this one's like, you know, a little smaller, but it's a lot of money either way.
100%. So there's actually this analyst who works for Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Eric Balchunas. Yeah. He actually
Balchunas.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Okay, so he just tweeted. When was this? Yesterday. Pretty much saying that although this is good news for like the overall Bitcoin price because there's just more demand that will be that to not compare it to American ETFs because they're like much smaller fish compared to BlackRock and all the others. So some people are saying that they're overly. So essentially what he's saying in this tweet is that people are overly bullish on the Hong Kong ETFs. He says he's still bullish, but it's just not as bullish as people think. Now, my question is, that article that the whale FUD referenced, are they taking into account this ETF that just got approved?
It came out today. That report came out today. So they could or couldn't be.
Yeah.
But either way, if we're already assuming they're $200 billion, I assume since this was Bybit and exchange that released it, and they assume they counted it, they would assume 1% to 2% of that $2 billion or whatever they have in their management would go to that ETF.
1% to 2% of... Mm-hmm. Okay. So this guy says if they get to 500... It's lucky if they get to $500 million in assets under management, the Hong Kong ETFs. Which I think is a little small, personally. And he says that it's still not out, so, and that the fees are over there are going to be much higher.
Also true.
1% to 2%, which is is significantly higher than what's being charged over here.
500 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's a lot?
Let me see. I think it's a good amount.
So if they have a $250 billion, one company, in assets under management, what percentage, I guess, or that's kind of what we got to figure out. And then there's a interesting caveat, or I say caveat, but they're promoting it as a feature for these Hong Kong ETFs. I think it's funny. Funny in terms of how they're talking about it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's actually good news, personally. Something called in-kind swapping.
Yeah, we talked about it when these came out.
So essentially, this in-kind feature is supposed to be for people who have been holding Bitcoin and feel like there's too much risk in holding their own Bitcoin so that they would swap it with these ETFs in Hong Kong for just the ETFs instead.
Yeah.
The idea is that you're holding a very risky asset that might be prone to hacking or theft or whatever. If you send it to us in Hong Kong, these companies, we could hold it for you, charge you the 1% to 2% management fees because they're not going to waive that. And then that way you take off that risk. They're trying to market it as a good thing. I, however, see it as a way for them to just take your Bitcoin and become...
Who?
The ETFs in Hong Kong.
Why?
And when I say your Bitcoin, I'm specifically talking about the people in Hong Kong or China mm-hmm. that will be buying it. Because, you're swapping your Bitcoin for the ETF. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you can swap the ETF for Bitcoin.
That's exactly what that means.
Well, they're gonna make it bidirectional.
That's exactly.
If it's bidirectional, then never mind.
Yeah, that's exactly. Different story. That's different exactly story. What that is.
Okay, I thought it was just one way.
No.
Oh, okay. If it's two ways, then that might be beneficial for some people.
It's two ways.
Yeah, that might be beneficial for some people for sure. Then, seeing how those risks are actual risks that might be prone that someone might be prone to. You don't want to lose your keys. You don't want to. Be held ransom or kidnapped. So if someone else is taking care of it for a 1% to 2%, that's on you if you choose to do that. But if you let it switch, okay. So I thought it was just because when I was reading it, all I heard was swapping your BTC to BTC ETF.
Yeah.
Never the other way around. Never you could swap your BTC ETF for BTC.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Okay, no. Okay, so I was about to spread some FUD there, but William's always there to cause some clarifications. So what were we looking for?
I was trying to find the percentage, but my brain can't do that number right now. I try to write out, I'm like, this is huge.
You're like, there's too many zeros right now.
It times out. But no, yeah, that's the only benefit their ETF has from ours.
Yeah.
It's in the in-kind. That's the last thing our ETFs gave up because of that.
I think that benefits the people who are most, I think that most benefits the people who are new to Bitcoin, want to get some exposure first.
Yeah.
And then once they see how it's working, then maybe
they trade it out.
Then maybe they trade it out. That's who I think benefits it most. The other way does, there's reason for that. I see it. I'm not going to deny it.
The ETF?
Trading it in for the ETF.
Yeah, you get a loan against it.
You get a loan against it?
You can loan it. You can, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's like an asset that you're holding, and then they'll offer you.
Yeah, loans, you can, for the most part. Depending on how much you have.
And buy more Bitcoin.
You can. It'll have a percentage, it'll have everything. But yeah, of course. For the most part, that's what people do. They get a loan against their stocks. You can get loans against ETF.
Okay. I didn't know that. Very interesting. Might not be as bad as an idea then. If you could take out loans on your Bitcoin,
what?
You lose the custody though. That's kind of like the thing. That's the thing that it's like you lose the custody. Because granted, yeah, they have all this documentation, all this structural stuff, but now they become huge whales, known whales.
Yeah, you just pull it out.
Now, what I mean by that is they're also prone to possible attacks. Since they're...
The ETFs are already going to become huge whales.
Oh, I know that.
Well, you are. But
swapping your Bitcoin that you have, small amounts compared to what the ETFs will have, makes you a smaller target than the behemoth ETFs. Therefore, a lot more people will find it more willing to spend time and energy to try to get the keys off of them versus the keys off of one individual who has a smaller bag.
I see.
You know? So, like, let's say, oh, we expect this to take a year worth of, like, social engineering and just, like, planning. It's just
I get you.
If we're going to do it, it doesn't matter who it is. It's going to be either the small individual or the mm-hmm. ETF. Or, like, we'd rather focus our time on the ETFs.
So that there's more.
There's more to gain.
There's more to gain from that attack.
Exactly.
Makes sense. That is true. But that's why they also probably don't keep in big batches.
Probably. Yeah. Very likely that they keep it in a series.
Also, it's not them who keep it. It's Coinbase and all these other people.
Also true.
Who
are already huge monoliths
yeah.
in the crypto space. So they probably know every, like all the ins and outs. What I bet they've seen so much. The amount of data that their internal security team has collected and experienced is just probably very profound.
Yeah. And they also have, they also pay for that one thing, like how to keep this as well
protected. Oh, yeah.
They might even switch wallets every so often.
Like phrases.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Yeah, no, the amount of security features that they have implemented should be good. You know what? Scratch what I said.
The downside is you don't have custody, and if things hit the fan, there is no way for you
to like ensure that you could have it available to you
to get it out there. Which is the actual issue.
Yeah, at the core of it.
In that situation, yes. Correct, though.
I do apologize if you hear some rumbling.
Okay, I forgot the math. I haven't done this in a while, this math, and I just did it. I just had ChatGPT do it, and I'm double-checking it. This makes sense. It's 0.2%, 500 million of 250 billion.
0.2%, so not even 1%.
No, 0.2%.
So is that a lot or a little?
Percentage allocation wise, I think it's little. I think it'll be more than that.
So you think they could reach more than 500 million?
I think
500 million in assets under management.
So assuming how small they are, maybe I would say 0.5. I had a bigger percentage of mine. I had 1%, but I saw it's 500 million,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they'll get to $1 billion so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say 0.5%. So what's that? A billion. That would be a billion and a little bit. I'd say they'll get there within a year or two.
Okay.
Maybe Hong Kong if they're buying slow, which they might buy faster. Who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. You know, it's only two of them. It's not like
yeah.
the amount that we had.
Well, you know, our amount is very one-sided. Mm-hmm. But I think it is bullish. Maybe not as big as our ETF since there were more of them. We are a bigger market.
I think also the biggest disincentive is the fees. The fees are much, much higher.
Yeah, but there we have other assets that hold fees. They're used to it.
True. I see.
So, for example, if they hold gold ETFs and it charges a percent,
mm-hmm.
and they get a Bitcoin ETF that charges 2% but goes up 100%.
Yeah, then it's probably worth
it. It makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's another thing we can't account for because we don't live in that area, in that market.
What I did hear was that a lot of individuals in China are actually trying to depeg themselves from the...
And companies.
Yeah, companies.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Because China's losing too much money, mm-hmm. bleeding.
So
well, their currency is bleeding, not actually them.
Yeah, so like anything that could like kind of like separate them from that a little bit is kind of like in demand right now. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Markets in turmoil. Great buying opportunities. Great buying opportunities to buy good projects that have like doubled and tripled in price, which I am upset about. There's some things I'm like, damn, I called this, but like I didn't think it would get here. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think altcoins would bleed like that. I'm upset. Learn something new every day, except Bitcoin. I mean, not Bitcoin. Except Sol. So I didn't go. I say that. Would you want to buy a nice little St. Petersburg, Florida, on the Intercoastal Waterway for 242
Bitcoin? 242
Bitcoin?
Mm-hmm. St. Petersburg? Yep. St. Petersburg is a very attractive place. A lot of people...
9 bedroom, 14 bath, 12,000 square feet.
That's a mansion, William.
Yes.
I think that's a little out of my budget.
I know. This is Gary Cardone selling his Florida residency in Bitcoin.
St. Petersburg is actually really nice. I would consider moving there if conditions were right.
Of course, if you had the funds for it, right?
Well, I meant the city, not necessarily that behemoth of a house.
It's a behemoth of a house.
So he's selling it for Bitcoin?
He's selling
it
for Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, that's the guy.
Gary Cardone is a very big Bitcoin bull.
Okay. Nice. And he's like, you know what, let me he'd rather hold some Bitcoin than some property right now.
That's maybe he wants to downsize it, take advantage, buy something smaller, save the Bitcoin on one end.
Maybe
that's huge.
Damn, I haven't thought about St. Petersburg in a minute. Now you got me thinking about that place.
I just brought it up to see think about someone selling it.
Yeah,
no, in Bitcoin.
Very cool. That's definitely going to be one of the biggest property sales in Bitcoin in America for probably quite some time.
Yeah. I have one more thing we could touch on.
Okay.
Which is El Salvador being a very big bull on Bitcoin, buying a Bitcoin a day.
It's a lot of Bitcoin. Oh, El Salvador.
El Salvador.
Yeah. But that's probably part of the reason why exchanges are going to run out of...
Awesome. I mean, Mr. 100 keeps on buying.
Mr. 100? Mr. 100.
He buys 100 Bitcoin a day.
Oh, that guy. Okay, yeah. He's still buying.
He's accumulated. The number I saw was like, what was it? Like? Oh, I want to give a number, but I think it might be high.
No. Don't give it them. But yeah, he's been buying a Bitcoin a day for quite a while. 100 Bitcoins a day.
Yeah.
That has to be a nation state.
Dude, with the amount of Bitcoin it was, if I remember this number...
We talked about that guy actually a while back, saying how really if a country wants to really put itself in the best financial position possible in the near-ish future, is print out as much of your currency as possible without causing too much suspicion, and with as much that you keep, use it to buy Bitcoin.
I have the number.
Oh, you have how much Bitcoin he has?
I was not off. I was off.
But not by much.
I was short.
Oh, you were short.
Okay. So he now controls over 54,164 Bitcoin, worth around $3.2 billion.
That's a lot of Bitcoin.
That's a shit ton of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought up El Salvador is because in Starbucks over there, you're able to pay through Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. That means El Salvador, well, Starbucks in El Salvador has to have a wallet storing this Bitcoin, deciding whether they sell it immediately or they keep it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what's it called? Starbucks are chains.
Yeah.
So the question is, who's holding that coin? The individual owners. They probably have some type of protocol, some type of policy, company policy.
Yes.
On how that's done.
But I mean, Starbucks has to have implemented it.
Yeah, of course. So probably, I don't know. This is me literally speculating. Starbucks HQ probably has like, hey, we'll probably have some type of like buyback deals. Like, okay, you accept Bitcoin and we'll buy it from you.
Or maybe they don't.
Or you choose to hold it or sell it. That's on you. But you have to accept it because it's in a country that it's legal tender. So you have to accept it.
Exactly. So they have to have that protocol set up to keep it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely. Because
the store would have to pay for whatever it uses, whether Bitcoin or not.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, if Starbucks wants to keep their business open in El Salvador, they need to make sure. So yeah, there might be some type of like HQ
but policy. But I found that
corporate policy
interesting that they accept as payment through Lightning Network, of course, so it could be quick. But also, what I thought was that can just start branching out to other stores shortly.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because
already in one, you go to the next, you keep on.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, since it's already implemented in El Salvador, then
other it should be relatively easy to move it forward.
Starbucks had like an NFT project that they were doing of some sort.
I don't remember what happened with that.
They scrapped it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, they're
gone. I think NFTs are too early.
Yeah, NFTs are super early. I think we need functional NFTs
first.
Yeah, like with utility.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm not saying first.
Meme coins are winning, and they're not. They have zero utility. Tucker is raw and is on a rampage.
Oh, is it?
It's a Tucker mother trucking meme coin. Tucker Carlson meme coin.
Mm-hmm. No, that has to be running.
Crypto Banter wants to, from the tweet, was like, maybe we should just buy. Every episode does these many videos a day. We do take this percentage to buy Tucker and then burn it. And we just raise our raise the prices. Mm-hmm. It's just like, wait, people, what is this?
It's money.
And he's like, absurd.
Yeah, the only thing is, we would do it in America probably, but it's illegal to burn the dollar. It's illegal.
They're burning Tucker.
Yeah, I know.
You mean to raise?
Yeah, to raise the value. Some philanthropist out there with a bunch of money would be like, you know what? Yeah, F this.
Especially like you're not even doing a dent to the supply though, because you just print more of it.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it's not worth it.
This printer prints more than Doge.
Oh, wow.
What else do you have to before we wrap up here?
There's
an hour long? Is it we're an hour yet?
We are
45?
Close. Actually, no, we are at least total time recording is 54 minutes.
Oh, we're there.
Yeah, pretty much. So before we wrap up, there is this new chain on the block. That was a bad but instance.
That's okay.
It's supposed to be a pun. But pretty much taking a page out of Coinbase's book. OKX has decided to launch their new layer 2. It's called, well, last week we talked about a XXX project. Now we're talking about 1X. It's called XChain.
That was a bad joke.
Yeah, it was bad.
I was going to try to do it, but I was just like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But yeah. They are working on layer 2 using Polygon. Polygon has a, it's called a SDK.
So they're layer 3?
I guess so. That's what, yeah, pretty much.
Because Polygon's a layer 2 on ETH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Polygon's a layer 2.
So, and this is a layer 2 on Polygon, technically makes it a layer 3 on ETH.
I guess. I don't know. So then,
we need to work on these things.
Yeah. The terms sometimes are a little wishy-washy here and there. Polygon has this thing that they call a chain development kit. Which is kind of like a spin-off on something that already exists. It's called a software development.
Yeah, Cosmo has one. I mean, Cosmo has one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an SDK kit.
SDK. So that was like the original term for it. Software development kit.
You weren't expecting me to know that, were you?
No, because it took me a minute to actually like get it ingrained in my head.
Built like that.
William's tech savvy. William's a tech master nowadays. But yeah, it's a new layer 2. Pretty much going to be doing... give or take the same thing that Coinbase does, like
Coinbase's base chain.
Yeah, base chain. The question is, how successful will it be? That's just a new thing that we'll have to wait and see. But base overall is doing pretty good. It looks like they've done like $26.8 million in profit this year so far.
In transactions. I'm assuming that's the number.
No, profit.
Oh.
So if OKX does anything close to that, that's already somewhere in the millions.
Yeah.
Worth of additional revenue. Granted, Coinbase is significantly bigger, in America at least. OKX is still really large. I think it's like the third largest, second largest crypto exchange, actually, behind Binance in total monthly volume, trading volume.
Okay.
So OKX is pretty big, and I think it might give Base a run for its money.
In terms of a chain?
In terms of, yeah.
Are they going to have a token?
Yeah. What is their token? OKB.
OKB, okay. Because that's the other thing. Base doesn't have a token, and they don't plan on releasing a token.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Correct.
I thought Coinbase did have a...
No.
No? Okay.
Mm-mm. They have a chain, but no token for it. And Tata, since we're talking about exchanges...
So then what coin is used for transactions on Base? What is...
You have wrapped ETH that you transfer onto Base chain.
Oh.
You're able to wrap the ETH or other coins, and if I'm not mistaken, be able to use them on Base.
Oh, yeah. CB staked. It looks like ETH, yeah. Coinbase wrap staked ETH.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, so OKX is going to have their own token, OKB. And their chain, X chain, actually has over 170 decentralized apps on it.
Okay.
Which is significant. That's a lot of apps.
That's a solid amount.
Yeah. Definitely enough to get some momentum going quite fast for them.
Yeah. Well, to add to that, not to add to that specifically, but sold DEXs are back to 1.5 billion in volume.
Okay.
After dropping a little bit.
So they're seeing some recovery in terms of transactions.
Yeah. And this is from them at their peak price, like a couple months back, in like the 4 billions.
Okay. 4 billions in?
For like 3 point something billion, close to 4 billion in volume.
In volume, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was trying to process that. Will we continue seeing increases?
And once more people get back on Sol, yeah, of course. That's all it is. There's currently no exchange doing the amount of volume Sol is.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw somewhere, and I'm sorry guys, because I didn't read enough. But Solana actually has like an update for trying to improve its
the
congestion.
We talked about last week. That's rolling out. Yeah. Should be rolling out.
Oh,
this.
Yeah.
We should have rolled out actually.
Yeah, it released an update V1.17.31.
Yeah, which should help the congestion issues. Yeah. And then they have their Fire Dancer upgrade coming out this year, and ETH has another upgrade coming out soon too, a hard fork of some sort. I don't know enough. I don't follow.
I wasn't familiar with that one. I'd have to look into it. We'll do some reading on ETH. But yeah, fun stuff going on. In the crypto space, new chains, new projects, new ETFs, new users, which is the funnest part because it's always cool seeing people who were skeptics at first come around and start to understand what it means to be a owner of your digital data. I think the future is starting to look bright in terms of where we're going. As long as this decentralized technology keeps on pushing boundaries, making headlines.
And we start using it.
Yeah, we start using it. The more people using it.
That's all we need. You need users.
But I got nothing else with you. I got nothing else.
Gummy Airdrop comes out this Saturday. Snapshots on Thursday.
Okay.
Do you put your Sol wallet in it?
On
Banter Bubbles?
In Banter Bubbles? I don't think I put it out. I put it in the tweet that they tweeted out.
You put it in the Banter Bubbles one too. Okay. They already asked for it.
Gotta do that then.
If you want to get the five, you're going to get.
Five. Five gummies.
Five gummy tokens.
Dropping on Saturday, right?
Yep. The 20th.
Yeah, Saturday.
Same day. I got nothing else.
Yeah.
It's been one of those episodes.
We did. I think we covered a good amount of stuff.
But like energy wise, I feel like it's not our most.
We're a little sad. We're gonna be separating for a while.
We will be separating for a while. Yeah. There'll be no new hosts. Same hosts, just not together anymore.
Not together. Yeah, we're going remote next week.
So bear with us.
Hopefully, you guys will barely tell the difference, or actually see a huge difference. We haven't decided yet.
Whichever one works out best for in our favor.
Yeah.
But with that, like, subscribe, follow.
Thank you guys for coming.
Hit the notification bell.
Thank you guys
for coming. We thank you again. Mm-hmm. And
see you next week, guys.
It's been another week
of your favorite crypto podcast.
Sometimes Crypto.
The Unscripted
Crypto Podcast.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo.